This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. This is Imam Zaid Shakir coming to you on behalf of Zaytuna College, your Muslim college, a college that I am honored to be associated with. My three talks, will concern the issue of the secrets of fasting based on the Ihya Ulumuddin, the revival of the religious sciences or the science of religion by the great scholar Imam Al-Ghazali. So during these three episodes, we will touch on, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, Imam Ghazali's mentioning of Salmul Umum, the fasting of ordinary folks, Salmul Khusus, the fasting of those who are trying to distinguish themselves by getting in touch with their humanity, by growing and maturing spiritually, and the fast of the spiritually mature and select, Salmul Khusus il Khusus, the fast of the spiritual mature and select. So we'll start the first episode by focusing on something Imam Ghazali starts this section with, and that is the importance of patience and the attribution of the fast to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-sawmu li wa najzi bi, fasting, the reward rather of the fast is mine, I will reward the servant with it. Alhamdulillah, it serves us well to start where Imam Ghazali starts. He starts discussing the relationship between patience and fasting. He mentions the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says, "As-sawmu nisfu sabr," that fasting is half of all patience. The relationship between fasting and patience is quite obvious. Fasting, unlike our other acts of worship, isn't over in 5 minutes as the prayer might be, or 10 minutes if one is praying even at a very calm, moderate pace. The prayer can be over 5-10 minutes. The Fajr, 2 units of prayer, 5-10 minutes, it's done. It's not like the Hajj. The Hajj, a few days, it's over. And during those days, certain actions are associated directly with the Hajj, such as going out to Arafah or stoning the Jamarat, or other acts, or the Tawaf, which may, in the hustle and bustle of things, take a few hours, but in a few hours, it's over, in a few days, it's over. Fasting, on the other hand, zakat, charity, in the old days, people would go gather up the requisite number of heads of livestock, and they've paid their zakat, or go into their storage and pull out the requisite amount of gold or silver, they've paid their zakat. In modern times, you write the check, go online, send our zakat to the designated organization, and it's over in a few minutes. Fasting, on the other hand, endures for over the course of an entire month, 29 or 30 days. It also involves the entirety of the day, from the crack of dawn, as we all know, until the affirmation of the setting of the sun. So we're not here to talk about the legal aspects of the fast, but some of the underlying secrets, starting with patience. So fasting is half of all patience because fasting embodies patience. There are three basic manifestations of patience. Patience in dealing with the difficulty that comes in obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, as-sabru ala ta'a, patience that comes in dealing with the difficulty in obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as fasting. We obey the command to fast. It might result in headaches. It might result in stomach aches or cramps, especially during the early part of the month. It might involve fatigue at the end of the day, but we patiently deal with those difficulties that come in obeying our Lord. And then there's patience in dealing with the difficulties that come in avoiding things that are prohibited. So as sabru anil ma'asi. So patience in dealing with the difficulty that comes in avoiding, rather, things that involve sin. So, for example, some people might be tempted to sell alcohol in their stores. And unfortunately, we see some Muslims doing exactly that. But others refrain. And refraining from that forbidden action, involving themselves in alcohol, in this case, in the sale of alcohol, their income is less. Because their income is less, they suffer some difficulties. They can't send their children to the school they might want to send their children to. They can't live in the neighborhood that they wish to live in. Therefore, the neighborhood they're residing might be less safe, and that involves some difficulties and some challenges. But they deal with that, and they patiently deal with that, rather, because they're seeking the pleasure of their Lord. And they understand the temporal, fleeting nature of this world, that difficulty won't endure forever. And then there's patience, as-sabru 'inda al-musibat. Patience in dealing with the pain and difficulty that comes in dealing with calamities. So we're in the midst of a calamity, the corona, COVID-19 calamity. This calamity involves a lot of loss. It involves death. It involves people being able to work. It involves landlords not having their tenants paying their rent. And as a result, they have to struggle and suffer to scrape up their mortgage payments from other means, possibly themselves taking another job. And that involves fatigue and difficulty. So calamity brings difficulty. And the believer patiently endures that difficulty. As we mentioned, fasting also brings its difficulty. But to briefly retreat, the difficulty in dealing with forbidden things. During the daytime and fasting, things that are ordinarily lawful are forbidden, which makes them all the more difficult to avoid, because normally we can drink milk, we can drink fresh juice, we can eat succulent dates during the daytime, we can drink cool water during the daytime. And during the fast, the days of fasting, we avoid those things. And as we mentioned, that might bring difficulty for us. We have to go to work, and we get up early, and we can't rest after staying up during the night to pray and read the Quran. And so we're dealing with fatigue. At the end of the day, that might be multiplied for us, because now we've not only started the day tired, because we were up part of the night praying Taraweeh, and that kept us up late, and then we read some Quran. And now at the end of the day, the fatigue that comes from not bringing water, not bringing food into our bodies, starts to kick in. And so that fatigue is complicated, but we deal with that difficulty for the sake of our Lord and seeking the pleasure of our Lord. And then we mentioned the difficulty in dealing with calamities. And that difficulty usually involves pain. And as we mentioned, concerning patience in obeying Allah and patience in avoiding forbidden things, there are pains that might be associated with fasting Ramadan, physical pain of headaches and cramps and fatigue. But we patiently deal with that for the sake of our Lord. So this is where Imam Ghazali starts his discussion of the secrets of Ramadan. Then he proceeds to mention that the reward of fasting is attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to Almighty God. And this is something that we should really focus on, because of all of our actions, and this relates to patience, we'll make the connection momentarily, but of all of our actions, fasting, the reward of fasting is attributed to Almighty God. And there are many secrets associated with that. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned kull 'amd ibn adam lahu الحسنات بعشر أمثالها إلى سبعمائة ضعف إلى أضعاف كثيرة في رواية إلا الصيام فإنه لي وأنا أجزي به. So he mentions that fasting, or rather all of the actions undertaken by the child of Adam, are for himself or herself. كل عمل ابن آدم له. And those actions that are for the child of Adam, they are multiplied 10 times over, 700 times over. And another version of the hadith, not this hadith, but a version, or a hadith rather, a prophetic saying that mentions the reward of our actions, إِلَىٰ عَدَافٍ كَثِيرًا, so many times over and above 700 times, 7,000 times for a single deed, good deed, 70,000 times, 700,000 times for a single good deed. And let's momentarily take a brief break and just remind all of ourselves, myself included, if every action we do can potentially be multiplied 70,000 times, 700,000 times, and every misdeed we do is counted as one against us, think how hard someone has to work, dear brothers and sisters, to go to hell. There is no strength nor power except with Almighty God. Think how generous Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, think how generous Almighty God is. In any case, illa siyam, except fasting, فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِي. So fasting is exempted from those deeds that are multiplied 70 times, or 10 times rather, or 700 times, or whatever. There's fasting is exempted. فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ. Why that exemption? What are the implications? Here we'll come back to our brief discussion of patience. And Imam Ghazali talks about this. Allah Ta'ala reminds us in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ, that the patient ones will be given their reward with no numerical limits. In that fasting embodies patience, as we mentioned, it's appropriate that the reward for fasting will have no numerical limits. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. The patient ones will be given their reward with no numerical limits. And as fasting is an embodiment of patience, it's appropriate that it has no numerical limits, and that it's attributed to Almighty God. It's appropriate that it has no numerical limits, because there are no limits to the power of God. There are no limits that can confine or restrain or define God. There are no limits to the grace and the mercy of God. And therefore, an action that's attributed to God, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, appropriately has no limits in terms of its reward. This is the greatness of fasting. This idea of fasting being exempted from our deeds is mentioned in another context. كل عمد بن آدم له كفارة. Another version mentions that every action undertaken by the child of Adam is a source of expiation or atonement for their deeds, except fasting. So, in who as-sawmuli, fasting is mine. We're reminded by Allah Ta'ala in Hadith Qudsi, fasting is mine, and I will reward the child of Adam for that. This version of the hadith, the great scholar of Mecca, Sufyan bin Uyayna, rahimahullah, may Allah Ta'ala, Almighty God, have mercy on him. He mentioned, according to this version of the hadith, the exemption is based from the deeds that are a kaffara, an atonement for our sin. So on the day of judgment, when people are gathered, those people we have wronged, they will take from our good deeds and take from our good deeds. And some people Unfortunately, and we pray that no one is in this category, but inevitably, there will be some people who did so much wrong that their good deeds will be exhausted and nothing will be left. Everything, the reward from their Quran recitation will be gone. The reward from their prayer will be gone. The reward for the charity that they did will be gone. The reward for their pilgrimage will be gone. Everything will be gone. At that point, there's nothing left except the reward of their fast, because the reward of their fasting was not theirs. It was for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Illa sawm, as-sawmu li wa ana ajzi bi. Fasting is mine. I will reward the child of Adam with it. And so Sufyan bin Uyayna rahimahullah, the great scholar of Mecca, he mentions at that point, when everything is gone, there's no more reward, Allah Ta'ala will return the reward of the fast to the servant, and on the basis of the reward of the fast alone, the servant will enter paradise. If this doesn't encourage us, my dear brothers and sisters, to number one, reflect deeply on the deep spiritual meanings of the fast, that something's attributed to our Lord, and that cannot be touched by any human being because it's not ours. And that might be the thing that tips the scale of our deeds in favor of paradise on the day of judgment, because no one can take from that in order to be atoned or expiated for the wrong we might have done to them. La ilaha illallah. There's no God except Allah. Our Lord is merciful, brothers and sisters. And as we know, Ramadan is a month of mercy. شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ أَوَّلُهُ رَحْمَةً وَأَوْسَطُهُ مَغْفِرَةً وَأَخِرُهُ إِتْقٌ مِنَ النَّارِ. The month of Ramadan, the beginning of the month, embodies mercy. And what could be more merciful than the reward of our fast being held back and then given to us on the day of judgment and tipping our scale in the favor of good? Al-Setuhu Maghfira. The middle days are forgiveness, embody forgiveness. Wa-Akhiruhu Itqum Min An-Nar. And the final portion is liberation from the hellfire. And as Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali mentions, all of it in reality is mercy, but during the first part of the month, mercy predominates. And all of it is forgiveness. During the middle days of the month, forgiveness predominates, and all of it, as affirmed by many prophetic narrations, involves liberation from the hellfire. But during the last part, culminating with the final day of the month, the final night of the month, more people, disproportionately more, are liberated from the fire of hell than during the earlier parts of the month. Imam Ghazali then proceeds to mention that there are three types of fast. There's the fast of ordinary folks. There's the fast of folks who are striving to elevate themselves spiritually. And there's the fasting of the spiritual elect, those who have gone through a process of spiritual purification and elevation. And so their fast is at an entirely different level. So he mentions the fast of ordinary folks. And the fast of ordinary folks is refraining from restraining from food and drink during the daytime. Those things and sexual relations, refraining from those things that would break the fast legally. And so that's the fast of ordinary folks. And that is something all of us should strive to involve ourselves with, because in anything we might do, there are degrees. We might start a job. We read about those people who start in the stock room and they end up in the boardroom, sitting at the head of the table. So they've progressed. And spiritually, we progress. But if we don't have that foundation, if we don't have that foundation in terms of doing the basics and doing those basic things with dedication, with sincerity, and with a deep faith that what we're doing is something pleasing to our Lord, as believers, our spiritual foundation will be very weak, and the chance of our success in terms of our spiritual growth and maturation will be severely compromised. As the great sage Ibn al-Ta'ilah mentions, "Man ashraqat bidayatuhu ashraqat nihayatu." The one whose beginning is illuminated, their end will be illuminated. So the one at the beginning of their path, their spiritual path, whose path is illuminated, and the illumination at the beginning is doing the basic things, undertaking our devotional actions and trying to be good in our devotional actions and doing them with excellence and adhering to all of the sunnah associated with them, then their ending will be illuminated with spiritual insights and elevation and understanding the deeper realities of creation and the deeper realities of what it means to spiritually be human, because that is the quality that distinguishes us. Our spiritual and intellectual illumination, those make us human. We share these carnal functions with animals. Animals eat and drink and sleep and copulate. As humans, we eat and drink and sleep and copulate. We share that with animals. Animals are wounded, they bleed. We're wounded, we bleed. We share that with the animals. Animals eat and they pass waste. We eat and we pass waste. So those animal, carnal, physical functions aren't what make us unique. What makes us unique are the spiritual qualities, the soul. And so that illuminating end is spiritual enlightenment, but it's built on the foundation of sincere and dedicated worship at the beginning. So this is why it's so important for us to really take the basics of the fast, the legal aspects of the fast, seriously, for they provide the foundation to elevate to the subsequent levels, which we will talk about in the second and third part of this lecture. So very quickly, my dear brothers and sisters, our spirit distinguishes us. We share many carnal functions with animals. Animals eat, drink, they copulate, they sleep. We eat, drink, sleep, copulate. Animals eat and consume and drink and they pass waste. We eat, drink, consume things and we pass waste. Animals, when they're injured, they bleed. When we're injured, we bleed. We share those physical qualities with the animals, so that's not what distinguishes us as a unique and special creature. It's our intellect, it's our spiritual nature, and fasting undertaken properly enhances and strengthens that spiritual nature. It sharpens our intellect. So this is why it's very important for us to refrain from those things that will break the fast: eating, drinking, sexual relations during the daytime in Ramadan. And the details of those things most of us are familiar with, and it's not our task to go into them here. It's our task to look at the secrets of fasting. So in the next episode, we'll look at and concentrate and focus on the fast of those who are striving to elevate themselves spiritually, what Imam Ghazali refers to as Salm al-Khusus, the fasting of those striving to distinguish themselves spiritually. This is Imam Zayd Shakir concluding the first lecture. We look forward to the second. Hopefully you can all join us for that. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.